The following program was paid for by sponsors of Weinstein Plastic Surgery. The views and opinions expressed are not those of the staff and management of WMTR. As always, it is advisable to consult a physician before making a major medical decision. Welcome to Nip and Tuck with Doc Weinstein. Doc Weinstein is a recognized expert of cosmetic and aesthetic plastic surgery, facial rejuvenation, and breast and body contouring with an office in Chester, New Jersey. Now, here's the host of Nip and Tuck, Dr. Weinstein.
Good evening. So nice to be here at Nips and Tucks. So it's an exciting week. This past week, I've been at the aesthetic meeting in New York City, the Big Apple. And it was a wonderful meeting where we analyzed many aspects of plastic surgery and discussed critical aspects and critical concepts which are important in terms of safety and quality results in plastic surgery. Now, I want to emphasize the fact that, thank you so much, we have a phone number here. It's 973-267-9687. You can call in to this radio station. And for the first caller, I will offer them one area of Botox for only $100. One area of treatment of Botox for only $100 for my first and 10th caller tonight will receive the ability to have Botox of one area for $100, which is very significant. And also for the fifth caller, they will have a discount of $500 for a facelift or a breast augmentation. So we're looking forward to hearing from some callers who have some questions about plastic surgery. And our phone number here is 973-267-WMTR. Or 973-267-9687. So, significant discounts for Botox or Xeomin, and significant discounts for a major surgery for the fifth caller. So, what happened in the aesthetic meeting in New York was I was able to stay in a select location in New York City, and I was able to ride my bike back and forth to the Javits Center, which was very nice. I enjoy riding a bike in the morning. That tends to rejuvenate me. I wish I was able to ride from my house to my office by bike, but it's a little bit far. But I am able to get there without passing any traffic lights, and it's one of the beautiful things of Chester Woods Professional Park is that we're in the hills of Chester with the trees changing and the beautiful scenery that can be seen on the way to be seen at my office. Now, the first panel I attended when I was in the aesthetic meeting in New York were the four critical concepts to consider in any facelift technique. So what are the four critical concepts? Now, a facelift is a very important procedure, which when we talk about nips and tucks, is almost a sine qua non of a nip and tuck. And what is involved is elevating the jowls as the number one critical concept. How are we going to raise that jowl? And what method are we going to use to elevate the jowl? Are we going to use a subcutaneous smass? And how are we going to raise that smass? Is it just going to be a suture technique to elevate the underlying tissue? Or am I going to excise some of that tissue or imbricate that tissue? Now, what I mean by excising, in other words, if there's too much fat in the face, I want to remove a little bit. But if there's fatty tissue in the face, they can be moved into a better position to make somebody look improved or to look younger, more youthful, more natural, then I'll certainly use that to do that. That's a critical concept. The other critical concept they're trying to emphasize is fat injections in the face. Fat injections is the rage for injections in the face. And there are people that are saying by putting fat in your skin, you will have better looking skin and a more rejuvenated skin. And there's something called nanofat and maxofat. And we can alter the fat cells that are utilized in different parts of the body to effect different results. However, there's a big word of caution here, and we're going to talk about it in another panel, but fat injections have to be done judiciously and in the right locations. And it's better if they're put closer to the skeletal processes. And I think it's better done at a separate procedure. Because when I do a facelift, I want to maximize the lift of the jowls and the neck so that we have a long-lasting results. And I think the critical concept in here in a facelift is making sure you get the lift that someone wants to get from their facelift. And if we don't get that critical lift, then we're failing the patient. And too often I see patients who have had fat injections that dissolve over time, and patients have inadequate results. And I think it's very important that you see a plastic surgeon that understands the principles and concepts that are to best deliver the best result for you. Now, we had many plastic surgeons involved in that. We had James Stusen, William Adams, Daniel Baker, Timothy Martin, as well as some other plastic surgeons from around the country. And the discussions were very strong in terms of their criticism of fat injections, but then there are advocates very strongly of fat injections. I've had some very natural results without fat injections, and I use fat injections judiciously. I had a patient recently that had significant problems with asymmetry of the face, and I was able to make her more symmetric with some small fat injections in the right places in addition to lifting of the jowls and the neck, and she's been thrilled ever since. She feels like $1 million. I wish every patient can feel as wonderful. So the next panel involved the critical decisions in reoperative breast implant surgery. Now, we talk about critical decisions in reoperative breast implant surgery. You know, why would anybody want to be reoperated on? Well, I think the most common reason for reoperation for breast augmentation surgery is that patients feel that the initial augmentation wasn't big enough. And if we look at the national statistics, somewhere in the neighborhood of 27% of patients get reoperated on to be made larger because their initial breast augmentation didn't fill the requirements that they expected. That's a critical decision. Critical decision because we have special sizes in my office that go over the breast to help patient determine how big they want to be, as well as a Vectra three-dimensional imaging machine, which can help because it does a volumetric analysis of the breast, and then we can use different implants that are pre-stocked in the computer software to simulate what they might look like. And I had a physician's wife in just this evening where we were able to look at that critical junction. She wasn't for reoperation. So let's talk about the other critical decisions in reoperation, because this was a panel just this past Saturday in the aesthetic meeting in New York City, the ASAPS meeting 2018. So we want to be very on topic for the most current possible aspects of plastic surgery. So what other critical decisions had to be made was, should we make the implant above the muscle or below the muscle? Now, if a patient is complaining about animation issues, in other words, when they move their muscles, it's causing some type of distortion of the implant, then it would be considered to put the implant above the muscle or wrap the implant in a special dermal substitute or layer so that there's a layering substance between the implant and the body's skin or body's muscle. So that's one decision-making process that should be done prior to surgery. The other aspect is, should the implant be smooth or should the implant be textured? Now, a smooth implant moves around the body, and it's the most popular implant. Over 90% of implants in the United States are smooth implants. In Europe, however, and other areas of the world, they use textured implants. Why do they use textured implants? Because there's a belief that the textured implants may have a lower incidence of hardening, and the textured implants move around less, so they adhere to the body. But there's a catch-22 with that, because the textured implants have an incidence of something called ALCL. But it's not all of the textured implants. It's more the implants from Allergan and another manufacturer, but not the Mentor implants, which are manufactured in the United States, which is the predominant implant I use, the United States implants that are made here in the USA. So those other implants have an incidence of something called ALCL. So there was a question of, should we be using the textured implants at all? And the incidence actually is so minuscule. It's like 1 in 500,000 patients for the incidence of the problem, and a one in a million chance of anything more significant developing. But it was discussed whether the textured implant should be used or smooth implants. Personally, and the panel, I think, concurred with this aspect, was that with someone who has an implant that's constantly displacing itself from the usual location where it needs to be, then a textured implant is warranted because it fixates the tissue better and stays in position better. So that was a critical decision and critical aspect in reoperative breast implant surgery. And also, how do you establish medial placement of an implant, in other words, establish the cleavage of an implant? And in this aspect, there was some people who were using implantable devices or implantable materials to maintain the implant position, and other people were using suturing in the lateral aspect of the breast in order to maintain the new pocket in position when replacing the implant. And then the other aspect is, you know, why replace the implant? Sometimes patients have gained weight, and when they've gained significant amount of weight, the implant becomes superfluous and becomes a bothersome aspect of their body, so it's probably better just to remove them. So those are the critical aspects that were discussed there. So what else? There was a panel on subplatysmal surgery, a new standard in cervical contouring. When we talk about subplatysmal surgery, there's a muscle in the neck called the platysma. And the platysma goes around the entire lower neck. And that platysma is a thin muscle, and it sometimes forms some bands. And there are structures underneath the platysma. One of the most common offending structures underneath there is the submandibular gland. And the submandibular gland is your major salivary gland. Now, in all my 30 years of doing plastic surgery, I have never had to remove a submandibular gland. And I worry about people talking about removing submandibular glands, but on this panel, they had several people talking about removing submandibular glands. I was really aghast. I have never heard a panel where I was so upset before. Listening to different plastic surgeons from different parts of the country, none of whom I have ever heard of, and where they got these guys from, I have no idea, but somehow they all came up, and one after another, they talked about removing submandibular glands, which I think is fraught with danger in terms of giving people problems with, you know, salivation and dry mouth, which is something that they didn't even mention. And the other aspect was doing digastric resection, in other words, removing some of the muscle in the neck. Now, I think, you know, if you're removing some of the muscle in the neck, I imagine that might affect your ability to move your neck and your ability to have a pain-free process of recovery. And although I've seen an occasional submandibular gland displacement in the lower aspect of the neck, when I have sutured the platysma muscle properly, in other words, elevating it laterally to bring it up a little bit higher and a little bit more lateral to tighten somebody's neck, I have found that to have a superior result. So the thought of removing a glandular tissue, which we really need to maintain saliva in our mouths and to maintain the moisture in our mouth, I found to be very, very upsetting. The other aspect is, you know, maintaining the degree on the neck, whether it should be 110 or 125 degrees. And I think at 110 degrees, we're starting to get a V-neck, a very sharp neck type of look. And I didn't like that look. I think 125 degrees, a C-cup in the neck, I think looks better. And I think that it's very important to maintain a normal look and not have a neck look overdone. And I think that was one of the things in the cervical contouring panel, is that many of the procedures looked overdone. And I am not going to be advocating these procedures for people because I think it would be overdone and not in their best interests. Now, you know, we are saying that the first patient and the 10th patient today will have the offer of Botox for only $100 for one treatment. And also, the fifth caller would get $500 off for a major procedure such as a facelift or a breast augmentation. Now, I believe we have someone on line one who's waiting to be talking to us, but there seems to be an issue there. So we'll wait. So I see that in the plastic surgeon athlete, What are the top five pearls for a long, productive career in the OR? And apparently, they had a specialist who came to talk about the aspects involving your maintaining your appearance. And I thought was, if you do exercise every day, either elliptical or bicycling, I think you're going to be in better shape. And I think that's important, and also stretching exercises, which I do every day. And that's what I took out from that. I'm going to talk to the first person. Hello?
Yeah, hi, Doc.
Hi, how are you? Who's that?
That's Ira from Montague.
Ira from Montague, how are you tonight? I wanted to let you know that we're going to be able to offer you Botox one area for $100 today because you are our first caller of the evening. So did you have any questions that you wanted to ask the doctor at Nips and Tucks?
Yes. As I'm getting older, I noticed that I have bags under my eyes. And they don't seem to go away. And my girlfriend told me I should use Preparation H, hemorrhoid cream on them, which I tried. It really doesn't help much, and it doesn't last long. So I figured I'd want to talk to you about, you know, possibly what's involved to anything surgically that could be done with it.
Well, I think, you know, there are problems with puffy lower eyelids where you have extra skin or extra fat in the area, which causes that puffiness. Ira, how old are you?
62.
At 62 years of age, you're here, and that's good. And you're otherwise healthy, Ira?
Yes.
Are you taking any anticoagulants, aspirin, Motrin, Advil?
Well, I take 81 milligram aspirin every day, prophylactically for my heart.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. So it would be good to, if you had considering surgery, usually stop that a couple of weeks beforehand because we don't want any bruising or anything. But I think the main aspect for eyelid repair or rejuvenation is blepharoplasty. Blepharoplasty involves removing the extra skin underneath the eyelid and examining the fat pads under the eyelid to see if removing some of those fat pads would be of assistance. The other aspect is assessing your muscular function and muscular volume to see if that's contributing at all to the excess eyelid droopiness that you have. And other than that, do you have any issues with your eyes in terms of being able to see?
Well, I wear corrective lenses, but I was never able to wear contact lenses long, but I don't know if that would affect...
You don't have dry eye problems, do you? Where your eyes get very dry, where you need drops on a regular basis?
No.
All right, so you sound like a relatively good candidate, you know, for a blepharoplasty. I think we can do a lower lid blepharoplasty to control the skin of the lower lids to take away that puffiness and make you not look like you have your bags, baggy eyelids. How are your upper eyelids, Ira?
They're fine.
Fine, that's good. All right, so I think blepharoplasty is probably the most popular procedure done for lower eyelid bagginess. There are some procedures which involve just removing the fatty content underneath the eyelids, but that's more for a younger patient who has bagginess there without any sagging of the eyelids.
Are there any complications that might arise in that kind of procedure, any nerves that could be damaged, or is it a relatively safe procedure?
Well, it involves making a small nick underneath the eyelid, so it is surgery. There is cutting, so there is a risk of injury to the eye. There's also risk of change in vision, and there's a risk of something called ectropion. Ectropion is where the eyelid falls away from the eye a little bit. And the other aspect is chemosis, where the eye itself becomes inflamed. So those are risk factors. Everybody gets a little bit of tearing and sensitivity to light and itchiness of the eyes for a few days afterwards. And very small percentage of patients have those problems. I've been doing this procedure for over 30 years and never had an issue with blindness and never had an issue with an injury to the eye. But patients do notice on rare occasions some change in visual acuity. The other aspect is the ectropion, which is pulling away of the lid from the eye itself. That can happen early on. So I do usually put something called a tessarophy stitch. Tessarophy stitch is where I bring the eyelids together a little bit for a few days to avoid that chemosis process in the eyes and avoid problems with the eye. And since I've been doing that, it's very rare that we have an issue with that. I do have patients wear Steri-Strips for a period of time to help hold the eyelid in position until the muscle completely recovers. But for the most part, I do a pinch excision of the eyelid skin, and by doing the pinch excision of the eyelid skin, it's very rare to have a problem with the eyelid pulling away from the eye. You had a question?
Do a lot of men do this, or is it...
Many more men than you realize. I think male plastic surgery is up 13% overall last year, and that's a significant increase. And males represent somewhere in the neighborhood of 10% of cosmetic plastic surgery procedures countrywide, and in some practices as many as 50% of the practice is males. I think that, many men do come into me, mostly CEOs, CFOs of corporations, who want to maintain that youthful appearance, and where they're in the boardroom and people are saying, oh, you're looking old, you're looking tired. But in fact, they're not tired, and they have all the energy in the world, they have all the knowledge in the world from working in that company for so many years, and the last thing they want is somebody telling them, oh, you look tired, when they're not tired. So tired-looking eyes can be fixed, and I think the most common person that comes is someone who's in a high-powered position who wants to maintain his high-powered position.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because it makes me look tired. And even when I sleep 14-hour days, it doesn't help that. So that's why I called in. And thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Ira. And if you would leave your number with the person at the station, we'll make sure you get that deal for the one area of Botox treatment for $100, which is a considerable saving. And thank you so much for calling. So if there's any other callers, take care, Ira. Have a good evening. Any other callers can call 973-267-9687. Going to drop that call because it ended up being we'll get back to him. I think she gave the information to my person in charge, and we'll be able to get a hold of him. Thank you so much. All right, so we're still talking about the aesthetic medium, and the aesthetic medium, we talked the next panel that came in. Of course, there was lunch involved, and we got to see some of the newest machines available for plastic surgery, which we'll talk about in depth in a little bit. But the next panel was high-definition body contouring, creating shape through lipoplasty, muscle action, and volume addition. And in this particular panel, we were looking at liposuction, which in the past looked at the different compartments of fat. Because when we talk about fat, fat is not a fusiform thing in the body. We've discovered that the fat compartments are all individualized in different locations in the body, and some of them are deeper and some of them are superficial. And depending upon where those fatty deposits are, we can, see what they're doing. I think we have another caller. Okay, let's see. Hi, Donna on line one. How are you?
Hey, Dr. Weinstein. How are you?
I'm super duper. It's so nice of you to call.
Thanks for letting me be a guest.
So anything that you're interested or have a question about in plastic surgery?
Yes, liposuction specifically.
I see.
Wanted to know what a good candidate looks like. Does the fat usually come back? So I just had a few questions that I was looking to get answered.
Hi, Donna. Is there a specific area that bothers you?
My love handles, specifically. My muffin tops, so to speak.
Your muffin tops are love handles. Okay, so that is the most common location for fat removal and the one I've done the most of over the years. I think the muffin tops, if we look at those love handles and a solitary entity, they tend to be superficial and there's a deep compartment to them. And liposuction is very effective at removing those fatty deposits that are on the flanks or the love handles. It also is such that you will, chances are, you will not get that fat back. Once those fat cells are removed, they do not come back. That's one thing I'm perfectly 100% certain of. If you do gain weight, you're going to gain it in other locations, but you will not gain it back in the spot where those fat cells are removed.
That almost seems too good to be true.
It's not a matter of good. It's not a matter of nice. It's a matter of, is this something that you want to have removed? And, you know, I mean, there are other techniques that can be used. I mean, if you went for CoolSculpting, 8% of the fat would be reduced in one treatment. You'd have to have multiple treatments, and there's a chance it wouldn't work on you. But with liposuction, I am 100% certain that the majority of the fat that's present in that particular location, based on an examination, can be removed. I can't be sure, you know, without an examination. You have to come in for consultation. Of course, we'd have a nurse with me at the time. We'd examine you. We'd measure you, take photographs of you, and then we'd show you patients who are similar to you who have had the same exact procedure and their results. But, you know, it's all individual. You know, it's that. Did you have any other questions there?
Are there any, I'm sure everyone asks the same thing, but complications. I'm sure there's,
There are risks of liposuction. Any surgical procedure has risks. You know, I had a man who came for liposuction just this past Friday, and he had a huge buffalo hump behind his shoulder, as well as love handles and some extra fatty tissue in his, like the lateral chest, as well as back. And I did liposuction in all those locations, and everything went really smooth, except that the actual entry sites had a little bit of redness to them, so they didn't take a little while until they disappear completely. So the incision sites usually are very tiny, about quarter of an inch. But occasionally those incision sites can be visible for a period of time, and occasionally they can poorly scar, which is extremely rare. You can have asymmetry in terms of the results. You can have risks of anesthesia, you know, so people can die from plastic surgery and having anesthesia, albeit I've never had that happen to a patient, thank God. And we do analyze you and get appropriate testing beforehand to make sure that you're as healthy as possible. You know, someone who can't walk up a flight of steps without losing their breath is not usually a good candidate for general anesthesia. Can you walk up a flight of steps without losing your breath, Tom?
Yes.
Okay, that's good to know, because if right away you're not a candidate. Because we don't want to have any cardiac problems. We don't want any problems. We have patients who have problems. So for cosmetic elective surgery, you got to be in good shape. Not that you're in the best of shape. You know, we want to make you better shape, and that's why people come for plastic surgery. So if you have a specific location, we can do it. So what's the recovery? This guy, I did it on Friday, and he took only 2 pain pills throughout the entire weekend. But one thing special about this guy, he had like this buffalo hump behind his shoulder up there, and he had it almost all his life. He's been upset with it for years. After surgery, when he felt the area and realized it was gone, he started to cry. And my anesthesiologist started to cry because he was so happy that it was gone. And I started to well up and got all verklempt, you know, from this guy crying. Sure. But, you know, it's really, that's one of the reasons why I love plastic surgery, is that I'm able to make people happy, you know, and achieve results. If it's something that bothers you, that you've suffered with all your life, and you want to get it fixed, you come in and we talk about it. You know what, Donna? I need you to hold on for a minute, because I think we're going to be breaking in about 10 seconds, and I really want to talk to you about the further risks and complications, and I want to find out what other areas you're interested in getting treated, because I have a feeling you're a juicy woman, and juicy women have a lot of things that they want to talk to me about.
about. So let's come back, and we're going to hear about what Donna the Juicy Woman wants to talk about when we get back. Thank you.
Whether it's extra fat and skin around your midsection or lines and wrinkles in your face that weren't there a few years ago, Weinstein Plastic Surgery Center knows how important it is to look and feel your best. Located in Chester, New Jersey, Dr. Weinstein is a conservative, board-certified plastic surgeon who's a recognized expert of cosmetic, aesthetic, plastic, and reconstructive surgery, facial rejuvenation, and breast and body contouring. If you're thinking of a procedure to help you repair an area of your face, breasts, or body that you are not happy with, visit a doctor that has a proven track record of satisfied patients. Dr. Weinstein has been in Chester for over 25 years and seen over 30,000 patients. You can trust Dr. Weinstein to help you look the best you can. He's an on-staff plastic surgeon at Morristown Memorial, and at Weinstein Plastic Surgery Center, he can help you with your facelift, tummy tuck, breast augmentation, or liposuction to achieve natural-looking proportional results. Visit DocWeinstein.com. That's DocWeinstein.com.
Hi, Doc Weinstein here. Looking forward to hearing from you, or seeing you, or helping you achieve your personal goals.
You probably heard that mortgage rates are rising, and many economic indicators are pointing to rates going up even further. If you're thinking about pulling cash out of your home to consolidate debt, invest in the stock market, purchase a rental property, or even buy the Bitcoin dip, you should call now before rates go any higher. Make the cash call at 855-875-CASH while mortgage rates are still at such low levels, and use the equity in your home to meet your financial goals. Cash Call Mortgage can refinance your loan at a low interest rate and a flat fee of just $995. And we'll pay all third-party closing costs. Call 855-875-CASH today to begin the quick and easy process. We close most loans in less than 21 days to get you the cash you need fast. That's 855-875-CASH.
First Mortgages, Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA Cash Call Mortgage, One City Boulevard, Orange, California, 92868, NMLS, 128231. Equal housing lender, not licensed in all states, including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
That's 855-875-CASH.
For 70 years, Classic Oldies WMTR has been serving the community right here in New Jersey. That's why each week we have WMTR's Rock and Rough, where we try and find homes for New Jersey's homeless animals. This week, Abby from Mount Pleasant Animal Shelter brought Gio. Tell us about Gio.
Just perfect. He likes dogs, cats, kids, every human he meets, every chair he can cuddle up in. He just wants to join a family and be a part of that. He already knows some of his commands, and, you know, he's just the perfect size for cuddling on the couch at night and, you know, going for a nice walk during the day, and just a nice mix of playful and cuddly, and really, you can't get a more perfect dog.
If you'd like to see Gio interacting with the WMTR staff, log on to our website, WMTRAM.com, click on the Rock and Rough link, and there's a video right there. It's WMTR's Rock and Rough. Brought to you by our animal-loving friends at Trost Auto Body on Route 46 in Rockaway. Online at TrostAutoBody.com. We'll remind you to stay safe on the roads.
When this happens, trust Trost.
Broadcasting live from the Hilltop Nissan Studios, Classic Oldies, WMTR Morristown, a Beasley Media Group station.
So, Donna, what else do you want to talk about? We're here.
So I have one quick question, because I do have to run. But like you said about the gentleman that had a few different procedures done at once, how many procedures can you have at the same time, or does it depend where?
Well, you know, it depends upon volume. And it also depends upon, you know, what your criteria are and how important it is for you to have all these things done or not.
See, this guy wanted to have it done under general anesthesia, so he was asleep at Morristown Medical Center. And then he wanted specific things done. He had gone down to Brazil and had a tummy tuck previously, and they left him with this extra fat on the flanks, and he had some terrible scars he was asking me about, which I addressed with him in terms of using special Silogen and other things. And I felt it was safest for him to be done in the hospital. But if you have, like, two little muffin tops on the side, we can do that on the local standby anesthesia in my office facility in Chester. And you're actually the fifth caller, so you get $500 off that procedure if you're looking forward to having it done. You know, you can come in for a consultation and discuss it.
Oh, very nice. Awesome. Okay.
Well, there you go. And I'm sure you have to, if you have to run along, that's great. We'll look forward to hearing from you. You can call our office at 908-879-2222 to arrange a consultation appointment. And that would be a private consultation. No one need know anything about your consultation or this radio show discussion.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
Thank you so much for the help, Dr. Weinstein. Have a great night.
You're welcome. Okay, you too. Have a great night. Okay, so we are still here at WMTR Radio. You can call in at 973-267-9687 or 973-267-WMTR with your questions and concerns. We're still waiting for someone to concern themselves with some special procedure, which may result in a significant discount for a particular procedure, etc. So, at the plastic surgical meeting, there were some very interesting aspects of high-definition body contouring. One of the definitions they were talking about is getting the midline to look like a midline. So if we do liposuction, I do liposuction in the abdomen. What I do is I do superficial liposuction in the exact midline. And why I do superficial section liposuction in the exact midline is in order to get that midline to come in a little bit, to have a little definition. Now, some people do etching to make the muscle layers and stuff. I think that looks kind of weird, so I don't do it. I would prefer people to lose the weight on their own and pump up their muscles and get that muscle to stick out. I'll do my best to remove fatty tissue. I make significant differences for people, taking off several inches of fatty tissue there. Now, there is a risk factor there as well, which we did not discuss, but if you do high volume liposuction, there's a risk that you might need a transfusion. And I have a friend, actually a colleague, who would do very high volume liposuction on his patients, would have to be admitted for several days in the intensive care unit. I've never had that happen over the years I've been in practice, thank God. And my patients tend to go home after the procedure and do extremely well. So for point counterpoint was on the panels at the aesthetic meeting on Saturday was the upper lid and brow rejuvenation. Now, upper lid and brow rejuvenation, what they were discussing was someone was saying, well, brow rejuvenation never has to be done. Why would you do a brow rejuvenation? But the fact of the matter is there are patients who have brow ptosis. And when they have brow ptosis, the brow falls into the eye area and causes the patient to have obstructed visual fields or impaired vision slightly or a look of a very mean look. And a lot of people get Botox, but Botox is not going to correct that brow ptosis in many patients. I've seen some really horrible brow ptosis repairs over the years done by non-plastic surgeons for the most part. And, you know, there's a way of lifting that where you barely see the incisions and an endoscopic technique or closed technique, which involves a tiny triangular endodyne device which is attached to the scalp where you can bring the tissue from the forehead up, elevating the brow. And there's a brow pexy procedure which involves a tiny incision over the eyebrow identifying the nerve and also the glabellar muscle which forms that nasty 11 lines can be weakened, and then a endodyne placed next to the bone there as well, and that we can bring the brow up a little bit to correct the position of it. They were talking about other techniques where you do a lateral brow pexy, where you remove a little bit of skin, the lateral aspect of the brow, of the temple, in order to bring the brow up, which is very effective. And also, for the upper lid blepharoplasty itself, they were saying the best technique appears to be just a pinch removal of the upper lid skin. There were some strange techniques demonstrated where they removed muscle or Müller's muscles and deepest structures of the eyelid, and they didn't look normal to me. And even though these people were presenting at a national meeting, I felt that they were showing results which looked somewhat abnormal. And I think the idea of the panel is not so much to learn new techniques, but to discuss techniques that people are doing and get other people involved in terms of discussing what they feel is appropriate and what they feel is best for the patient. And I think it was a good panel. Cheryl Aston was involved, and Mark Codner, and Patrick Sullivan, David Hidalgo, talking about the upper lid and brow rejuvenation. I was underwhelmed by the results that were presented there, but certainly, you know, that's one aspect of surgery which involves finesse and should be done in a natural way to get the best possible result for the patient. You know, one of the aspects that we have this week, I know May 8th, is I have multiple lasers coming to my office in order to treat different problems. And the number one thing we're doing is skin resurfacing with the fractionated erbium YAG laser. And this is a great device which is able to smooth out skin. We use 1 millisecond for the face and 1.5 millisecond for the forehead and periorbital areas. And we use usually 2 to 4 passes to do this. It's relatively painless, but we do use numbing cream on the area. We do a skin test usually beforehand. And we want to see that there's a little erythema, edema, and heating sensation. And then we want to verify that there's no unexpected side effects when I do it. We can pre-treat patients with a little bit of glycolic acid or topical hydroquinone. And we use topical anesthesia about 1 hour beforehand. And most patients tolerate it very well. Post-treatment involves cooling for about 15 minutes and soothing creams. And post-operative care involves frequently washing at least twice a day with a Dove soap and a daily regimen of applications of appropriate sunblock to avoid any sunburn after the procedure. There's a little bit of discomfort for about 48 hours and mild to moderate medium diffuse redness and swelling could last a few days. The skin peels gradually over the following few days. But the final results are there's skin texture improvement, there's spot blanching, a glowing skin, and a tighter skin. So the fractionated laser that I'm using with the Maxim Erbium and YAG laser is offering exciting results. And one of the women in my office have had it done several times, and she swears by it at this point. And we've seen some spectacular results in our other patients as well. Now, we also have a Maxim VP2 or IPL laser for benign vascular lesions and pigmented lesions, and we're seeing tremendous results with this. We also have the MedLight laser, which is a 532 nanometer laser, which is good for brown and red spots, and we're seeing almost complete resolution of these things after only one treatment. But it usually says it takes 2 or 3 treatments, but you know, I try to get it into one treatment, but you know, the manufacturer says 2 to 3 times. And again, patients, first treatment we do according to specific guidelines, and there's a slight risk of hypopigmentation or hyperpigmentation or scarring, and we don't guarantee that there's going to be an improvement, but the laser is very effective. I've been using it for almost 28 years, and we've been using this laser for close to a year, and we're seeing some very nice results with it for those pigmented lesions and vascular lesions and red lesions. We also have a wonderful laser now for hair removal, and the hair removal we're doing is, you know, we talk about, you know, permanent hair removal, but the reality is the hair is reduced and the hair growth is markedly reduced, and the time it takes for the hair to come back is markedly reduced. And then we do treatments of every 6 weeks or so in the hair removal. And we're very effective in terms of removal of hair underneath the arms or hair along the oral region like the lips or chin, as well as neck, also along the abdomen, legs, and also the pubic region. And, you know, you don't have to shave the area for a whole summer practically, and can result in permanent hair removal up to 90% after a full series of completion of 10 treatments. I usually go for like 5 or 6 treatments over the years, and that's it. It works best on dark-haired individuals. It does not work on light hair. It only works on dark hair. So, we also have a laser called a VetMax VP 535 nanometer laser, which is for benign pigmented epidermal cutaneous and vascular lesions, which is fantastic and working extremely well. The also sharp light laser has, we have something called an infrared laser or cool light laser, and the cool light will actually tighten the dermal layers subcutaneously. It has an effect on the helical bonds of the collagen, thickening the collagen and tightening the collagen. You know, one of the things that happens with aging is we lose the elastin fibers, and the elastin fibers do not grow back. So this laser stimulates something similar to collagen or elastin fibers, allows for the tightening of the underlying tissue. It's a wonderful treatment. We offer three of these for $1,500 and one for $600. So if you're interested in lasers, we have them coming on May 8th. You can call 908-879-2222 to arrange a consultation for our Laser Day, which is very popular. And but if you want to have it done, we will get you in. You just call up 908-879-2222, and our Laser Day will be the day for you to have these things treated. Now, some people say laser is not effective against tattoos, but I've had success, especially with amateur tattoos, with laser removal. And even professional tattoos, it takes treatments. It can take 5 or 6 treatments to remove a tattoo. And I am experienced with removing tattoos by laser, and I'm happy to help people remove the tattoos. You know, there are some people who need to get jobs, and they cannot have tattoos in visible areas in order to have those jobs. Those are pre-requirements. And if someone has a tattoo, they need it to be only time to do it, but we can get it done with laser or with other techniques. So we are in WMTR Radio, 973-267-9687. You can call in at any time to get significant discounts and treatments at the Weinstein Plastic Surgery Center in Chester, New Jersey. Now, we talked about the first day of the plastic surgery meeting. We talked about some very interesting aspects that were there. And then we're going to talk about Sunday's blue session. And the Sunday's blue session, we're talking about fillers. It's more than just a filler. Its benefits are beyond volumizing. So you can use a filler like radius or volumer in a deeper tissue in order to increase the volume of the face, in order to increase the youthfulness of our face. But we can also use filler in modified ways in order to affect the fine lines of the face. And several people presented this of using a little bit of Botox in with the filler to inject the lines of the lips. And they were talking about long-term results with it. And I'm a little bit excited about it, and I'm going to try it on patients who are where it's indicated, because I hate those fine lines around the lips. I've been treating them with Botox in separate applications, and I usually use 4 to 6 units in the upper lip for control of those lip lines, and then I use a very fine filler to fill in the lip lines, like a Juvederm Ultra or Volbella is a new thing that's very nice and very thin to allow to utilize in that area of the fine lines of the lip. The other thing I do very often is people have those lines in their forehead which just don't go away. And I've had somebody from a major rock band come from Long Island who I've been injecting, who was so thrilled, you know, because every time when I inject it, it lasts him a good year or two. And when he gets back, he just says, Weinstein, I love the way you fill those lines. I got to get it done again. And we do it. So these are the fillers, and also we're seeing some long-term results in terms of benefits to the skin. Apparently we're having some dermal layering in the areas where we're treating, and we're seeing, with proper patient selection, we're seeing some definitive improvements. There was a panel on the hot topics in female cosmetic genital surgery, and my good friend Hetha Furness was very involved in that panel. She's written some studies on it. Dr. Furness is a female plastic surgeon out in Santa Rosa. She lives out there with Paco Cabellas, and they live in Santa Rosa. They have a great practice out there, and unfortunately she lost her house recently with the fires in Santa Rosa. And I was so happy to see her in New York. I gave her a great big hug, and met her husband. I was talking to him about my new bike that I've been going back and forth to the meetings with, and it was very, very great to see them, and they're in good spirits, and it was lovely to see Heather talk about the female cosmetic genital surgery, because it really works, and they're very excited about it. I've done some limited amounts of rejuvenation for the area in the general region, and I don't feel very comfortable talking about it on the radio. If someone has a problem with that, I'm very happy to talk about them privately in the office. You can call 908-879-2222, 908-879-2222. I have a friend, actually, Dr. Hunter in New York City, who almost exclusively does that surgery, so if it's a complicated area, it's something that I'm not comfortable with, I will refer you out. But at least I'm somebody who will hear what you have and discuss what I can offer you and offer you another expert opinion if that was the case. Now, the other panel that came in at the plastic surgery meeting was Hot Topics in Breast Surgery. And we talked about ALSL before, but that was one of the topics, texture. They talked about biofilms. Now, one of the things they talk about biofilms is they think that biofilms is a major cause of capsular contracture, and my incidence of capsular contracture in my practice is less than 3%. Nationally, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 23 or 28%. So, what am I doing that I haven't changed over 30 years, which allows my patients to do maybe a little bit better, I think? And this is what's discussed in the panel, was that I always check my implants for integrity. I always check for my implants for particulate matter. I always wash my implants with an antibiotic solution. I bathe the implants in a little bit of betadine solution in addition to the antibiotic solution. I make sure that my pocket that's created for the implant is completely clean and devoid of any particulate matter. I check it vigorously with a fiber optic light. I check for any bleeding. I meticulously check for any blood at all that might be there, and I make sure that there's no bleeding before I put my implant in. When I put my implant in, I make sure that nobody touches it and it doesn't touch any skin, and it goes in usually through a special device called a funnel. If my incision is very large, the funnel is superfluous, so I just put it in by breaking it up in my gloved hand. I usually use new glove before I do that. And we very rarely see the problem. But what they're saying is that sometimes bacteria might inflame a particular implant, and that may cause further problems in capsular contracture. I think it's more common with textured implants, which are not very popular in my practice. I only utilize them for patients who want a implant which is formed in terms of shapes, and also for those who have had displacement issues and we want to keep the implant as centrally or definitively located as possible. So one of the exciting things that was in the panel that was discussed was perioral rejuvenation. And they were talking about the final frontier. I don't see it as the final frontier. I mean, there are other areas. We're going to see a final frontier somewhere, but it's not going to be perioral rejuvenation. So I objected to the what they call this topic. And one of the things they were talking about was a lip lift. And I just did a lip lift 2 weeks ago for a woman who had barely any visibility to her upper lip. And what a lip lift is just removing about a quarter of an inch of skin or an eighth of an inch of skin just beneath the sill of the nose. And by removing the skin that's underneath here, we're able to elevate the upper lip and have more red show. The other thing I did for that particular one was put a little filler in it. Now, they were talking about doing fat injections in the lip. And fortunately or unfortunately, I've done a lot of lip injections, fat injections in the lip, and I think the problem with fat is it can grow. And I have had one patient from that I did 27 years ago who gained about 60 pounds, and that one patient ended up having hypertrophy of one side of her lip, an enlargement of one side of her lip, and we had to remove it. So I'm a little bit gun-shy about doing fat injections in the lip. I prefer a predictable product such as Juvederm that I can put in the lip, which I know predictably what's going to occur. You know, people say, oh, I put two or three syringes in the lip and I get X amount of dollars. I tell you, I'm not interested in the X amount of dollars. All I want to do is do an improvement in the lip. I want to see an improvement. We also have this something called Silicyl, which a young woman out in California has invented. And it's a 3-4 millimeter round device which goes in the lip, which causes a permanent filling of the upper lip. And I have several of those in the office available in different sizes and shapes, which can be used to actually increase the size of the lip, but not a lot. You know, I don't like these people that have a huge lip, and I'm very careful about making someone look normal in their lips. The other aspect is that the Botox filler combination may help rejuvenate those little lines around the lip. And I think people that ignore the perioral region in patients who come in for plastic surgery are giving them a disservice. The other thing we can do is dermabrasion, which will take out the lines in the lip, as well as a peel, or we have the fractionated laser, which is very helpful in terms of helping patients who have smoker lines in the lips. They may not be smokers, but they have those smoker lines. And again, on May 8th, we have all the lasers coming, which can treat all of those problems, especially those smoker lines in the lips. And I'm excited to be able to offer that in my practice on May 8th, as well as other days. So you can call 908-879-2222, 908-879-2222. Looking forward to hearing from you to help you resolve issues that you may be having in terms of plastic surgery. It was a great show. Enjoyed having Ira call and Donna call today, and we're looking forward to next week of Nips and Tucks here at WMTR Radio. Again, thank you.
Whether it's extra fat and skin around your midsection or lines and wrinkles in your face that weren't there a few years ago, Weinstein Plastic Surgery Center knows how important it is to look and feel your best. Located in Chester, New Jersey, Dr. Weinstein is a conservative, board-certified plastic surgeon who's a recognized expert of cosmetic, aesthetic, plastic, and reconstructive surgery, facial rejuvenation, and breast and body contouring. If you're thinking of a procedure to help you repair an area of your face, breasts, or body that you are not happy with, visit a doctor that has a proven track record of satisfied patients. Dr. Weinstein has been in Chester for over 25 years and seen over 30,000 patients. You can trust Dr. Weinstein to help you look the best you can. He's an on-staff plastic surgeon at Morristown Memorial, and at Weinstein Plastic Surgery Center, he can help you with your facelift, tummy tuck, breast augmentation, or liposuction to achieve natural-looking proportional results. Visit DocWeinstein.com. That's DocWeinstein.com.
Hi, Doc Weinstein here. Looking forward to hearing from you, or seeing you, or helping you achieve your personal goals.
Have you ever gotten stuck in the home improvement blame game? Say you have a problem with your windows, so you call for help, but then the window seller points to the manufacturer, and the manufacturer points to the installer. I'm Larry Landis, the local owner of Renewal by Anderson. That finger pointing literally can't happen with us, because we are both the window manufacturer and the installer. We cut out the middleman so you can have one company to handle your entire window project for you. Now with our instant product rewards, save 20% on windows, save 20% on patio doors, and your installation is included. And with our financing, don't pay anything for a year. Call us, Renewal by Anderson, and during your appointment, we'll give you a price that we'll honor for one whole year. Call 1-800-672-7200. 1-800-672-7200. That's 1-800-672-7200.
Offer not available in all areas. Minimum purchase of 3 units. Restrictions and conditions apply. Call for license information.
This Saturday at 11 a.m. on WMTR, catch All Access with State Theater New Jersey, the new radio show that brings you the best arts and entertainment news from Central Jersey. Hear artist interviews, updates on what's new and exciting in arts and live entertainment, and hear about upcoming events that you just can't miss. It's All Access with State Theater New Jersey, Saturdays at 11 a.m. on Classic Oldies WMTR. This week on All Access, we chat with Jules Alexander from the Association, part of the Happy Together Tour 2018.
Join us next week for more sound advice, Tuesday at 7:30. Nip and Tuck with Doc Weinstein on Classic Oldies WMTR. The preceding program was paid for by sponsors of Weinstein Plastic Surgery. The views and opinions expressed are not those of the staff and management of WMTR. As always, it is advisable to consult a physician before making a major medical decision.